Good morning. As Ann just said, my topic for the next three Sundays will be rituals that define us. And today, because the band and it's lighthearted and a casual time, I want to talk about rituals that define us for fun. And I hope so far it's been a fun morning. I hope first Sundays are fun. And the music was great. Thank you, Michael. About 20 years ago, when my two girls were much younger, I decided that our small family needed something that would uniquely identify us. And I thought about writing a funny and memorable song or poem. My girls were frankly indifferent to the need for such a thing. But I was determined. And what I eventually came up with, it kind of was a crazy idea of mine, but I eventually came up with a self-choreographed Slagle family dance as our identifier. And this dance was, believe me, over the top ridiculous, but it nevertheless got the message across. And I introduced it on my birthday, which we celebrated all our family birthdays together. And I tried to teach it to my girls, and I declared it that henceforth, from that time forward, the dance would be danced at all family occasions, public or private. And this dance is a, as I said, over-the-top, ridiculous combination of the chicken dance, done on one leg, while barking like a seal and flapping our arms like wings. And then there's a great big finale with spelling out our last name and finally a loud go, Slagle. And my girls thought this was horribly, horribly lame. And they only very willingly, half-heartedly learned it. And later they declared to me that they would absolutely never, 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 ever dance it outside of the family. But I wasn't deterred, and for many years, regularly reminded our family that we had to do it. And it didn't matter that they usually refused to dance with me, so I just danced it alone. And I a few times would suggest that we would dance it in a public place. And I did this teasingly, but I suggested many times that we dance it at the end of a sporting performance in which my girls participated and did a great job. But they were so horrified at the prospect of doing this over-the-top, ridiculous thing that they literally would run away. I, of course, wasn't a sadist, and I didn't insist on it being done at a public place. And I made sure to dance at it only in private for family occasions. I had my own dignity, after all, to preserve. But I'm even telling this story today to all of you with a whole lot of fear, because I'm afraid some of you might say, oh, please show it to us. And believe me, no way. No way. No, 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 no way. It is so ridiculous. I know that if I were to perform it for you, you would immediately undertake a congregation vote to replace me as minister. So you'd wonder about my mindset. But this Slagle family dance took hold. And as my girls got older, they then sometimes reminded me to do it. And they did enjoy seeing me look like a fool. On a few occasions, they would even dance it with me. And I've not done it in many years, and really, I sense the loss of that. It is too bad. And with an Easter family celebration dinner coming up, I may just do it. And I look forward, I definitely do look forward to resurrecting it with my future grandchildren. But this dance has become a part of our family lore. And we laugh about it, and that makes me happy. If I'm remembered by my girls for anything, and let it be that dance. And even though it was never something serious, it's become a declaration that we as a family are united and that in a very silly way, we pledge our mutual support for one another, no matter what. And in many ways, this Slagle family dance is our ritual. And I need not tell them with words that I love them, but I'm able to ritually show them in a funny and fun way, that I do love them. And that helps me introduce, as I said, my April message theme, Rituals That Define Us. And when I suggested this theme to our Sunday planning team several weeks ago, I said I was reluctant to do it because I just could come up with the idea of rituals that define us and thought I would talk about various rituals that define us as Unitarian Universalists. But I was thinking that's probably too religious and too serious, coming after my relatively intellectual March theme, What is God? The team, however, did like my suggestion and thought that if we talked about it, we could work it out. And it was actually Ann Bobinick, who said that rituals, as she just said to our children, need not just be solemn or serious ones. A ritual, as she said, just like she said it to our kids, can be as simple as her regularly talking with her grandchildren as they drive here to church. Something that is done often. And I therefore want to focus in my message today on the larger idea of rituals. How can we broadly define them? Why do we perform them? How can they be both meaningful and joyful? And since first Sundays here are informal and lighthearted ones, today seemed a perfect day for me to consider rituals that define us for fun. Now, a ritual is described as any action which was regularly performed to symbolically remember or honor an occasion or idea. Now, there's a psychologist at Syracuse University named Barbara Feigs who says that things we do regularly are usually called routines. They're important to us. Routines are important to us. But what is different between a routine and a ritual is the degree of meaning we attach to them. When performing something routinely, we apply very little afterthought to the action. It has no strong symbolic value. The ritual, however, is full. It's an action full of meaning. Rituals are expressly intended to inspire. Now, we don't drop pebbles in a bowl of water here every Sunday, thinking that such an action will literally do anything. The people we remember as we drop the stones into water will not be happier or healthier as a result. Instead, it's us, it's we who are happier and emotionally healthier. The dropped pebble represents the concern or joy we hold. And as we each practice that ritual, I hope we're bound together and our thoughts for others. And as my message today implies, rituals can be uplifting and fun, much like my very ridiculous Slagle family dance. In our first Sunday services, what we're doing here today is something very new for us, but one I hope will become a ritual. One Sunday a month when we can let our hair down and be less traditional. And these services, I hope, symbolically say that worship can be fun and that we're open to change. This family that we call the gathering at Northern Hills, we ritually practice each and every Sunday our shared beliefs in the dignity and diversity and equality of all. But on first Sundays, we just do that in a way that is, I hope, slightly more relaxed and fun. Even for those of you who are plugging your ears whenever the band rocks and rolls it. But experts assert that fun, family, and community rituals are vital to our well-being. And that's especially true for children. Family rituals are practices they not only can enjoy, but which implicitly convey to them identity and unity and universal values. It may be an old adage, but the one that says a family that eats together stays together is often quite true. And indeed, dining together is the number one family ritual that child psychologists suggest. A routine meal that's eaten quickly or done in front of the TV, that can be transformed into one that's instead an enjoyable ritual. And that can be done by making family meals fun, and a priority by cooking together, recounting what everyone did that day, sharing inside jokes or trying new foods, but never making mealtime a time to rebuke or discipline. Some families allow each child to pick the dinner food on a particular day of the week. Taco Tuesdays, Waffle Wednesdays, Spinach Sundays. Probably not. But here too, the Gathering Northern Hills, we practice dining rituals as well. We're a spiritual family too. The food we eat and the new people we meet each and every Sunday after our service, at our potlucks, on our Super Sundays, at the annual auction, at our holiday party, at pub nights, or at next Saturday evening's Passover Seder meal. These are not routine, practical events. They hold a spiritual significance for us. They are rituals that define us. And we don't just say we are a beloved community. We show it. And that's why I say that what happens in the Quimby room after every service is far, far, far more important, I believe, than what happens in here during a service. It's why I hope we'll continue to strongly support and attend our social meals and events. I hope you will sign up for them as often as you can. In the sanctuary, you have to listen to me, blah, 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 and catch up on your sleep. But during social times, you actually get to enjoy yourselves. We may not think them to be rituals, but they are. And indeed, most of you say that it's the community that we have built here that keeps you coming back each and every Sunday. Breaking bread together, whether at family meals or congregation social events, they are rituals that do define us. But experts say there are other fun rituals to practice. Things we regularly do to celebrate holidays. For examples, my former wife, continuing practices began by her grandparents. She's continued to do them with my girls, our two girls. Every Christmas Eve, the family reads the book The Night Before Christmas, with each person reading just a few lines, until the very end when everyone together says the last lines. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. Christmas morning is then begun by everyone opening their stockings filled with trinkets and candy. Bigger presents, however, are later opened one person at a time so that both the giver and the receiver share in the spotlight. When many family members are together, this process can take a very long time. But these are rituals practiced without question, and they're greatly enjoyed. They define who that family is. And birthdays or other events, psychologists suggest, as possible occasions for fun family rituals. They're symbolically meaningful in how they're celebrated. Perhaps by making the birthday person king or queen for the day who gets to pick whatever they or the family do. The symbolism and the fun are obvious. The person is special, and their life is one to celebrate. Annual family vacations are the same. It's not the getting away that's important, but the memories and the unity that family vacations can build that are important. Now, I have a deep love for the Western United States because my family always took summer vacations out there when I was young. My mom would plan the trip for months in advance. We packed the family car, and then we took off for 2 or 3 weeks to camp or stay in cheap motels or cook over a campfire or hike and see the wonders of nature like Old Faithful or the Teton Mountains or the coast of Canada's British Columbia. My siblings and I laughingly, every time we get together, remember the long hours riding together in the back seat, playing highway versions of Scavenger Hunt or heeding the call of nature by the side of the road as passing cars would honk at us. My parents, with the time they took to plan and take annual summer vacations, they told me and my siblings without words that family was important. The ritual was in the long communal drives, the shared campfires, and the excited awe we all felt when we were in the midst of mountains and forests. My parents rarely took us to Sunday churches, but they did take us to nature's cathedrals. With our shared reverence for the outdoors, with our jokes, our car riding games, or our meals of burnt hot dogs, we ritually worshiped at the altar of love and togetherness. And a more serious but still fun ritual that I began with my girls when they were younger was to serve others together. Partly due to my work as a minister and partly being intentional as a dad, I forced my teenage girls to join me and other church folks to serve at various charities. Every month, my daughters and I participated in a Sunday evening meal preparation at the City Gospel Mission down in Over the Rhine, where we served and cooked food. And I also forced them to join me on charity work trips, several to rural Appalachia to paint or repair the homes of senior citizens, and other work trips to Mexico, where we built homes in a week's time for families that were living in crude shacks. Like many teenagers, my daughters were upset that I would take them away from their friends and the comforts of home. But once they were on these serving trips, they enjoyed themselves. And they today look back on them with a lot of gratitude. My daughter, Sarah, has seared into her memory a young Mexican girl whose family we helped. This young girl possessed a prized collection of bottle caps, which this girl played with as her make-believe toy cars and trucks and people. At the time, seeing such a thing taught my daughter Sarah a lesson about materialism that I could never have imparted to her. And I believe these rituals of service to others, done together, symbolically told them, hopefully in a fun way, that our family has a responsibility to give back. These rituals of service help make my girls who they are today, compassionate women with beautiful hearts. The families can do acts of service together as enjoyable ways to bond and build memories. And as a spiritual family here, we do the same. As I hope you know, rituals of service to those in need are cornerstones of our ministry. When volunteers here join together to cook a meal for homeless teenagers or assemble hygiene kits for them, as our youth will do here next Sunday, or work at the Free Store Food Bank, we have fun. There's a great sense of camaraderie that's built amongst the volunteers at these service actions and friendship building. Words that are often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi are very meaningful to me, and ones I believe that most rituals should echo. And I paraphrase them here. Preach the ethic of goodness as often as possible, and only when necessary, use words. And next Sunday, I plan to examine our unique Unitarian Universalist spiritual rituals and find in their practice the symbolism and meaning that I hope we can think about every time we do those rituals. And in 2 weeks, I plan to consider rituals that relate to Easter and Passover, not as religious acts, but as ways the holidays can speak to us about life and death and ideals of nonviolence and forgiveness. But for today, I hope our takeaway is the value of transforming routine practices into rituals that are both enriching and fun. And I encourage all of us, to break bread with family or friend, dance with abandon, as some of us were doing here earlier, sing out loud with joy, off key in my case, or find a loved one to serve a charity together. But do these things regularly and with meaning. They are indeed fun rituals that define us.